Character builds. Everyone has them or wants them. We decided to do something unique where we added rules imposed on a character. Our goal is to provide fun builds, which may or may not be novel, to fill an adventuring party niche. We call the segment Twisted Builds. Welcome to Dueling GMs. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Anthony.
This is a show for GMs and players.
One about designs and details.
To build a better role-playing community. Let's get into the general character building rules and then talk about our character.
Great. So we set up a list of 10 rules and we're going to always abide by them. Rule number one, establish a theme, declare a concept, and impose a twist.
Rule number two, all characters are level 10 using point buy.
Rule number three, all races and classes are acceptable without explanation.
Rule number four, all Tasha's optional rules can be used.
Rule number five, no homebrew unless it's semi-official on D&D Beyond.
Rule number six, multiclassing is allowed, but must follow requirements for ability scores.
Rule number seven, no magic items unless the class somehow grants them. Any mundane items are allowed.
Rule number eight, all subclasses can only ever be used up to a total of 10 levels. We want to showcase different builds this way.
Rule number nine, established settings will be within the world we've been creating in our other workshops. We'll continue adding things to the world in future episodes.
And rule number 10, these builds are purely for fun and quirky concepts. They may be somewhat optimized, but no guarantees. This week's build is what we called the melee nerd. So essentially intelligence focused to an extent and entirely melee. So what do we got?
Yeah, do you want me to start? Yeah, you can have the honors again.
Okay, all right. So as always, a 10 level build, I went rogue 2 and 8 levels of wizard. The race, I went very inhuman. And with that, I picked up the dual wielder feat, which for those listening, it's a plus one AC, and you can use two weapon fighting with, you know, one-handed melee weapons that aren't light. Okay. So this concept was essentially two rapiers concept. So the wizard is the blade singer. Well, let's focus on the rogue for a second. Two levels of rogue. I wanted to have the expertise and the cunning action aspects of the rogue. So for the expertise, I went with investigation and stealth. I pictured this character to be definitely a lot more focused with searching around, sneaking around, searching around. So my investigation is a plus 11 and stealth is plus 12. I guess rewind a little bit, the way my attribute spread, it's point buy, so not great in a few of these categories, but gotta do what you gotta do. So minus 1 in strength, plus 4 in dexterity, plus 3 in constitution, plus 3 in intelligence, and then minus 1 in both wisdom and charisma as well. So a couple of big oofs there.
Yeah.
But you gotta do what you gotta do for the nerd and high con while also being a dexterous build.
Sure, it's, makes sense.
All over the place there, spread wise. So yeah, with the expertise, investigation is plus 11. So my passive investigation is a 21. So, again, I wanted to have a little bit of that out of combat.
Yeah, that's mid.
That's mid. That's basic. of course, thieves tools as well. Definitely a few languages with this build. So, yeah, the dual wielder feat I grabbed right away. So we're looking at an armor class of 18 with, I believe, just studded leather, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, studded leather. And then from there, we'll dive into the blade singing, where AC increases based on intelligence. So 21 for my armor class now. Advantage on dexterity acrobatic checks, extra 10 feet of movement, which I thought was good for that, you know, a little bit of that roguish aspect if I need to move a lot. Sure. And then bonus on constitution saving throws for constant or maintaining on spells. So the idea is to, you know, have a spell or two up and kind of dive into combat with the blade song going and kind of just go ham with the rapiers. I have extra attack with the blade singing. And then, you know, one of those includes a little bit of sneak attack damage, but, you know, not a lot. And then I can also, you know, with the dual wielder, kind of decide if I'm going to be in it, like not as skirmishy, then I'm going to have that extra rapier attack for that as well. So two attacks and then one for my bonus action attack. So I thought that'd be kind of nice. And then I think this was level 4. I took the resilient constitution to bump that up to that +3. So it's not the same as Warcaster in that regard, but it gave me that extra boost in constitution.
Saves. Your con and saves are +7 yeah. now.
And which... it gave me proficiency in con, so that's +7 there. So I thought that was a good trade-off there.
Yeah.
Spells, which some of them are important. If I didn't want to have two rapiers, and, you know, obviously pending on, you know, some setups, things like that, but shield is an option, but I didn't want to rely on a lot of in combat spells, like sort of prep spells like blink or haste. I was thinking mostly haste, so an extra +2 on AC there and an extra attack, or dash, disengage, hide. So it kind of gave that hide combined with the expertise and stealth combo set up pretty well, or an extra attack. So that'd be 4 attacks with haste, extra, you know, AC, advantage on dexterity saving throws. I thought that'd be a good, you know, setup, where a lot of the other spells are a lot more out of combat, you know, dimension door, greater invisibility for sneaking around, blink even. So a handful of spells there. Sneak attack at this level is only an extra D6, but with the rapiers, it's always applicable. And
you tend to make more blade singers than I do, so you probably know this better than I would, but as part of your blade singing, can you channel your magic through your weapons, or do you need to have a free hand to still use your arcane focus or component pouch? Yeah,
you do need to have a free hand for that, unless you pick up the Warcaster feat. But to me, I was thinking, well, I'm going to focus on the melee aspect more than the spellcasting and kind of just have that as more utility or pre-combat setup.
Okay.
So this was, yeah, they're nerdy, they're investigatory, but as weird as it sounds, my mainly wizard is more roguish than it is wizard in terms of how I wanted the feel to be.
Okay, so even things like your booming blade, you have more as utility when you only have one weapon out. It wouldn't be your bread and butter every time then?
It wouldn't be, no.
Okay, that makes sense then.
Yeah. So mage hand, prestidigitation, you know, those are kind of the go-to utility. If for whatever reason I wanted to use booming blade to kind of keep them still, it kind of gives me options, right? I'd have one rapier where I can do the booming blade attack. And I guess with it, I can still do my offhand attack with the same rapier, maybe. Unsure. But even if not, and it's just a single booming blade, I don't know if that outranks the multi-attacks that two rapiers would have, but if I wanted to do that, I can use my bonus action then to disengage and get out of there. And then they have to decide if they want to chase me with the booming blade active on them. So it was kind of like an option of I could, you know, drop a rapier, hit them, and get out of there if I need to be a bit more skirmishy. But if not, I have, you know, haste up ideally and four attacks per round going with dual wielding. So that seemed kind of nice. And then,
right.
You know, if they're range though, I have options, you know, magic missile, even, you know, Misty Step or Dimension Door just to get in close. Like those spells were kind of like, okay, if I am far away, I don't want to resort to range because this is a melee build. And I wanted to kind of lean into that some more. So, you know, do what I can to get in close. And then if I can't though, I have backups, Fireball, you know, Mind Sliver for a cantrip. So different options there, but that's essentially the gist of it.
So the bread and butter would be to kind of cast haste as the combat starts, right? Uh-huh. Your 17 armor class goes up to and 19 with haste, plus your blade song gives it another
three. And then dual wielder gives it a plus one if I go that route.
So at that point, you're up to like 23 AC.
23 AC, and then advantage. I'm sorry, not advantage, on a plus seven because I'm proficient now in constitution saves, plus three for intelligence as well on that.
When this says plus seven, but that would just be with your blade song, you'd be at plus 10. Is that right?
Yeah,
on your correct. Con? So, yeah. So at that point, anything trying to keep you from getting your haste, you know, keeping your haste up would have a hard time with your plus 10. Because basically, unless they're doing at least, 22 points of damage or more, then you automatically succeed with your plus 10.
And I'd have to roll even a one with that, right?
Right. Yes.
So hopefully that in addition to the high armor class and advantage on, just having a plus eight in, you know, dex saving throws between, you know, the normal items there. If something's make, you know, if it's a wisdom save, I'm out.
right.
But you know, even if I was like grappled and I needed to make strength saves or something, I have some teleportation options to get out of there if need be. But yeah, I mean, ideally the gist was, you know, decent, you know, mid 20s armor class, which is pretty good, and then a high con save so that I can keep haste for the entire combat and not have to worry about that dropping.
Right.
And then that would get me four attacks if I normally.
Yeah, that works. I was trying to kind of piece together what the advantage was on this versus say a fighter, but you're at level 10. A fighter would get its third attack at 11 and certainly wouldn't be making four unless they're doing their action surge where you're consistently doing four as long as you have that offhand weapon out.
Yep.
And haste up. Plus, your saving throws at this point would be way higher on the two arguably most important Dex and Con.
Dex and Con, yeah. I mean, definitely Con for the spell, but Dex and Con, I feel like, are two good ones to have. Yeah. So
when you get your plus eight, and then you'd be doing, I think, Dex saves at advantage as well. So somewhere I saw that on your build. So.
Yeah, advantage on Dex acrobatic checks.
That's it. Yeah.
So I mean, that's still fun. But a
plus
too,
eight is still plus eight.
Yeah.
And most exactly. most fighters are not going to get that. So yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out. Was I know people are going to come at it and say, why not just play a fighter if you're going to play a fighter? But that's because fighters can't do this until closer to, you know, what is it, 16th, 17th level when they're getting four attacks.
That and. You know, the AC is still, I mean, obviously
the armor class is through the roof, which they're not going to be able to boost that much with just straight armor. Yeah. You got at least your one attack getting you know, the sneak attack D6 bonus, and then you have at least some utility spell casting on top of that.
Yep. Yeah. Utility spell casting, you know, getting in close spell casting. But, you know, max AC, or I'm sorry, max HP is only 75. Not great, but with a +3 con, that's as good as I think I can get with this build for me. But again, I wanted to focus on the nerdy aspect too. So having that +3 in intelligence, you know, some skills that I have, I do have a lot of skills with the rogue. So acrobatics is a +8, arcana is a +7 for proficiencies, history +7, investigation is +11, perception performance I have based on, I think background and the blade song, +3, and then sleight of hand is +8, stealth +12. Those are the memorable or notable ones, I guess. So having that, you know, focus of like, all right, I'm searching around, maybe, you know, sleight of hand, investigation, like looking for things on people, perhaps, you know, kind of give it that roguish feel, but also, stealth at a +12 combined with haste, I can always hide then too if I need to.
Sure.
You know, and still get all my attacks in, or 3 attacks in, which it's still pretty good.
Right.
You know, and then again, limit it down to 2 attacks, be able to disengage, and then haste, I can hide, you know, all in the same round. It's a lot. So yeah. I thought that was kind of a nice setup there. So
yeah. Nice.
I think that's initiative +4 based on my decks. I think that's it. So those are the big ones.
Well, cool. I think in some ways we have similar conceptual starting points.
Sure. It's mainly nerd, right?
Yep. So my dexterity, constitution, intelligence are my 3 highest stats. But in other ways, we couldn't be any more different. Have a whole bunch of skills, whereas I'm sitting on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 tool proficiencies.
Nice.
Yeah. So I made a mark of warding dwarf, which gave me some fun little starting points that I got. Proficiencies, I took brewer supplies on my choice of tool proficiencies, a lot of the standard dwarf stuff with dark vision, poison resistance, that type of thing. But then the mark of warding gives me something called warder's intuition, investigation checks or ability checks using thieves tools. You can add a d4 to whatever you roll, which was kind of fun. I guess some bonus spells as parts of the spells of the mark, so alarm, mage armor, and arcane lock, just for being that particular race. So I thought that was a fun starting point for somebody who already just kind of naturally had so many tool proficiencies in general. The basis of the class was to go 6 levels of artificer, and that was to fulfill our nerd side of things. I went with Battlesmith because at some point you get the ability called Battle Ready at 3rd level, your proficiency with martial weapons. And when you attack with a magic weapon, you can use your intelligence modifier instead of strength or dex for your attacks and damages. So that is why I've got an intelligence of 18, so +4, dex and con are +2, and everything else is just a +0. But that gives me my attacks with infused weapons. And I chose just, I went with the Warhammer, but I gave it the radiant weapon infusion. So it's a +1 to attack and damage, and then you can use a bonus action to activate a bright light and blind people and use certain charges for that, which is kind of fun, but that means he's attacking at a +9 and at a +9 for an artificer, which is really kind of fun. plenty of spells. And again, if I'm going to play a melee related spellcaster, I'm always going to take absorb elements, the ability to use some elemental damage that somebody tries to use against you and dish it back out. You stack that with things like Armor of Agathys. So you can even soak some of the damage potentially and then dish it right back out. And then a number of different concentration based spells just to get out, affect the battlefield, and then go in with both your weapon. And since it's a battlesmith, oh yeah, you've got your steel defender. Uh-huh. So, you know, you can set up your flanking, you can have extra attacks, all that sort of thing. So this guy is just kind of all around pretty solid at everything. Like I said, skills are not great. He's got Arcana at a +8 and sleight of hand at a +6. Stealth is a +6, even though, because I gave him proficiency in stealth, even though he's wearing some heavier armor that gives him disadvantage. So,
okay.
But yeah, not too bad. So that's 6 levels in Artificer, plenty of spells, plenty of different fun little Artificer infusions. Let's see, what else did we end up going with here? The spell refueling ring, and obviously I can't have all of them in use at any given time, but the Radiant Weapon, Lantern of Revealing, Boots of the Winding Path, which is one of the unique ones as far as I can tell, that you can't necessarily walk up to a shop and buy, but it's on the list of things that they can create. A bonus action, teleport up to 15 feet in mm-hmm. an unoccupied space, and it doesn't necessarily have uses. It's just if you have a bonus action available, you can do it. And you got to go back to, that's why it's a winding path. You must have occupied that space at some point during the current turn. So run up, hit something, and then activate the bonus action to teleport back to where you started, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Put the mind sharpener on his scale armor. So he's got proficiency, or let's see, when you fail a con save, then you can maintain concentration. And naturally has proficiency in con saves for being an artificer. Mm-hmm. So the con is a +6, but then potentially can just use the charge and, you know, make the save if I fail it. So that's that. And then I went 4 levels of fighter because I figured what better way to enhance this melee nerd than give him a whole bunch more items that he can activate and lean into the fighter aspect at the same time. So I went with 4 levels of the Rune Knight. Yeah. And a whole bunch more things so he can use the Giant's Might, get much bigger, activate the Stone Rune, which can temporarily charm creatures and basically kind of a single target hypnotic pattern type of thing. And I gave him the Cloud Rune to use a reaction to force somebody to attack a different person other than the one that you that they were initially trying to attack. So lots mm-hmm. of things there that felt just very Artificer as it was, just because you know me, I like to have plenty of bonus actions available.
Sure.
So this is another one of those where I have to scroll to see all of the available bonus actions, because on top of that, Second Wind. And because I've got 4 levels in fighter, then, you know, I've got Action Surge. So I'm taking 2 attacks per action with my 7 levels of Artificer, but I can also Second Wind because I've got, you know, a couple levels of fighter. So tons of potential for both damage, for utility, for battlefield control, all that type mm-hmm. of thing. And then because I already had proficiency in constitution and it was relatively high, I didn't go Warcaster and I didn't go Sentinel, although I contemplated. I went with one that people don't jump on too often, but I love the concept of, which is Mage Slayer.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of the anti-Warcaster. If somebody within 5 feet of you casts a spell, then you can take a reaction to make your melee weapon attack against them. And when you damage somebody that's maintaining concentration, then they have to make their check with disadvantage. And then advantage on any saves against spells cast by creatures that are in melee range of you. Okay. So it's a nice, you know, like three tier feat effect that very few people dip into. But if you're going to be jumping into melee, it's a really nice one to have, especially if you feel like you're going to be the one targeting the casters. Sure. And especially with the mobility of this particular class, I figured that would probably be something this character would do. And then again, using that steel defender to kind of surround and get the jump on them, not let them get away, that type of thing. So yeah, I think that's the basics of this one. I think I unwittingly possibly checked off another character off of our list. We wanted later on to see how many tool proficiencies we could stack on a single character. Seven will be tough to beat, but we'll have to see down the road if I can accomplish that. The other nice thing, even though I didn't have high skill proficiencies or a lot of skill, I'm only proficient in four different skills, but I have one, two, three of them that I'm rolling with advantage, again, because of those runes and their passive traits, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
And then the fill in the gap between the racial ability that I mentioned, adding a D4 on investigation checks, and then having the right tool for the job. What is the other one I'm thinking of? Maybe I don't have it yet because I might not be high enough level in Artificer. Yeah, maybe I don't have the Flash of Brilliance ability, but later on you can, you know, continue taking a couple different levels in the Flash of Brilliance, and then you can just add another D4 to your roll. So sometimes it doesn't matter if you're not proficient in something. If you can stack enough bonuses on top of it, you can make people think you're super smart even when you're not.
Right. Love it.
But yes, that was the idea for this one.
HP armor class, what do we got?
Let's see. Armor class was a base 18. He can use a shield, and I think I've got him rocking some scale mail right now. And then hit points were 77.
Okay.
The four levels of fighter help with that a little bit.
Sure.
What were you sitting out on hit points?
I was sitting at 75.
Okay. Yeah, because your con's a little bit higher than mine. Think that maybe makes a difference. Yeah, it's not too bad. We'll have to discuss this maybe more in depth when we get into some mechanics conversations down the road, just so we haven't done in a little while. But I was working on a few other builds recently for some playtesting things, and I've been discovering that when you have the opportunity to take an ability score increase and you're wanting to up your constitution by two, you know, the plus two constitution to give you the, you know, the plus one bonus because you want more hit points. I've recently, I don't know why it's never occurred to me before, instead to take the tough feat, because then you're giving yourself plus two hit points per level instead of raising your constitution plus one, which only gives you plus one per level. So you almost double your hit point output by taking the feat instead of the ASI. So wouldn't apply here, but yeah, when we were talking about hit points and ways to increase that, that's definitely something that I will start considering more consistently for my characters.
I like that. Yeah. Makes sense. Checks out.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a very neat build. Definitely melee focused. And I like that it's, you know, flavored as well to go up against mages as well, even though you're nerdy yourself.
Yeah, it's almost like the science versus magic, and you've got all your spells, but I've got my science and I can take you down.
Right.
Yeah, where your Blade Singer is, I'm going to use magic to be a better melee combatant than your best, you know, swordsman can be.
Yeah.
It's a very old school elven type of thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's fun too.
That was actually kind of what I was going for, almost like the old, you know, secret assassin elves almost.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that works.
Yeah. The mark of warding, is that specifically Eberron? Is that where that comes from?
I think all of the mark of races are, Eberron. Okay. And that's a world that our group hasn't really spent much time diving into, but I mean, that's where the Artificer comes from. That's where the marks of there's so many things that are in that world that, and you and I have spent some time kind of doing some Avatar adjacent stuff. And I feel like the Eberron world in some ways with their blend of some technology, but also some magical things kind of reminds me a little bit of the, like the Legend of Korra. Version of the Avatar world, but you can play it post-apocalyptic. You can play it wartime setting. It really seems like the type of setting that would work really well for a lot of the stuff that our group likes to do. I'm surprised that nobody's ever really wanted to dive into it more.
Yeah. Oh, and if you don't have that, at least the Artificer's available in Tasha's guide as well. But the setting always intrigued me. But I haven't personally looked into it all that much outside of like mostly classes. But I was unfamiliar with some of the mark of warding, you know, the mark of, I know they existed and I was like, I think it's from there because I don't know where else they'd be from. But, you know, there's some other, you know, Magic the Gathering adjacent D&D stuff as well out there. And I'm like, maybe it was from there. Couldn't remember. Anyway. Yeah, but I like the build. It's a good... sciency fighter.
Yeah, I think both of them came out pretty fun. They weren't necessarily the let's break the mechanic, but more of a, hey, if we gave ourselves these parameters, can we make a cool, fun thing that's, you know, you would want to play in a 6 months, 12 month, you know, 24 month, whatever campaign, as opposed to some of those being just viable enough to maybe use for a one shot and that's about it.
Right. Yeah, some of them you're like, ooh, this is just crazy enough to work for now.
Yeah, but until somebody finds my weakness, and then it will never work again.
Yeah. For this, it was just, you know, how, you know, can they be nerdy and also just melee? Because I feel like a lot of nerdy, you know, high intelligence builds, you're not seeing too many.
You have to be a ranged spellcaster, and then, if you're a melee character, then you're dumb. So let's stack on the intelligence and show that you can actually be a smart melee.
Exactly. Yeah, I like the builds.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
It was a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, I think that's all I got. So until next time.
Yeah, we'll catch you later.
Yeah.